Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In 20 years, you're going to be spending an additional 40 minutes a day in San Antonio traffic. The city's population keeps growing. There are only so many roads that can be built and widened. It's going to become a transportation nightmare that could hurt the city's economy, quality of life, and ability to serve the community. And now is the time to address that problem before it gets here. But how do we do that? One solution is to boost mass transit, more frequent buses, smarter routes, more reliable schedules. But how are we going to do that? And how are we going to pay for it? We're talking about VIA Reimagined Plan this afternoon on The Source. Lots of ways for you to join our conversation. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour by Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit. Jeff, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Also with us is Marina Gavito. She is a VIA Board Trustee. And Marina, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you.
And on the line, we're joined by Michael Walk. He is a research scientist and urban planner at the Texas A&M Transportation Institute. Michael Walk, welcome to The Source.
Glad to be here.
And Marina, you're a VIA board trustee. Can you tell me about the VIA Reimagined Plan? What is the major thrust of it?
Yeah, so the VIA Reimagined Plan, there's three main parts of the VIA Reimagined Plan. First, there is the Better Bus System, which is our current system amplified, right? More frequency of buses, longer hours of service, weekend service, late night service. Then there is the Advanced Rapid Transit Plan, which is a really exciting component where it is basically dedicated bus lanes, and it almost acts like rail without being rail, right? We know that setting infrastructure of rail is costly, and it's also permanent. With Advanced Rapid Transit, we have all the advantages of rail, but on a better bus. Lastly, we have smart transit, which is things like what VIA has recently piloted, mobility on demand, and it's called VIA Link. Basically, think of it as rideshare meets public transportation, and somebody can go on their app, call a bus to pick them up, and then the bus takes them to the nearest major transit center. And so, looking at different, looking at things like that, like mobility on demand, is what's encompassed in smart transit.
Jeff Arndt, we heard the phrase Connect SA in San Antonio. So mm-hmm. Is VIA Reimagined, is that a component of Connect SA, and how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Connect SA is a fully multimodal plan that incorporates plans from other agencies. So there's a highway element, and that comes from the MPO's highway plan. There's a sidewalk element from the city. There's a micro-mobility lane element from the city. And then there's VIA Reimagined. That's the transit element of Connect SA. So there are a series of plans all under that umbrella.
And what's the goal?
The goal of Connect SA?
Why are we doing all that?
It was to lay out a vision for how we create a system that is both robust enough to at least manage demand. I think that nobody believes that we will end up congestion-free in 10 years or 20 years based upon the growth, but how can we manage the whole transportation network so that delay doesn't get to the point that you described earlier, right? That's the first thing. The second thing was to identify any kind of gaps in funding toward that kind of vision, and then third, to identify how those funding gaps might be addressed. That was kind of what Connect SA is all about.
Michael Walk at the Texas A&M Transportation Institute, we're going to be leaning on you to help us see the big picture, what's happening with other cities, and what are the trends. And how does San Antonio stack up compared to other cities when it comes to mass transit systems like we have with VIA?
Yeah, nationwide, it's been a challenge often for cities to be able to move people throughout the region efficiently and effectively, particularly when transit needs to be or often ends up in the same traffic and travel lanes as every other vehicle on the streets. So certainly there's taking a hard look at the way that the transit vehicles are operating throughout the city is something that cities are taking very seriously now. More and more looking to reimagining or redesigning their bus networks in order to more effectively reach people where they are, provide them with more frequent service. And that's been an ongoing trend. Many cities are looking at doing exactly what VIA is doing here and have done it successfully.
Michael Walk, cities, this is a hyper-local problem. A hyper-local solution is needed. Cities have to figure this out on their own, and I imagine some are doing it better than others.
Oh, that's very true. One way to look at the effectiveness of transit is to look at ridership. Ridership is one of those measures we can look at to at least see if people are using the system more or less than before. And yes, there is great variability across the U.S., particular on whether ridership trends are going up or down. Many cities have been losing ridership over the years, at least since 2014, on their bus systems in particular, although that trend is looking to reverse or at least change direction here recently. Some cities haven't been affected by that trend, and those, at least at glance, at first blush, are cities that have taken a very hard look at keeping their service, very high levels of service in their transit systems, have been very creative when it came to, aligning their systems with the land use patterns in their region. And just really it comes down to the quality of service that the transit agency can provide for the dollars that they have available. The cities that seem to be doing the best in that way are the ones that seem to be keeping their ridership numbers high.
And Jeff Arndt at VIA Metropolitan Transit, the pressure is on you to figure out how San Antonio can solve this with its own particular needs, our own unique situation, with the means that we have, or we're trying to come up with new revenue sources. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But is the pressure on you that we have to, that San Antonio, if we don't get this right, that this could be a long-term ill that the city would have to face?
Well, certainly with the funding we currently have, the 1/2 cent sales tax that we have that 1/2 cent sales tax system on the street today. Mm-hmm. And so lacking additional funding, this system is what we will have, and we'll have it for the next 10 and 20 years while millions of people arrive in the city. Not a very attractive option.
But people are shopping around for where am I going to live? And
right.
People say, I want to live in a city that has viable transit alternatives, whether it be protected bike lanes or even a bike highway, all these other things. People are very interested in finding cities of the future now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, if you look at the RFP that came out from Amazon, that they included, one of the big factors that they included was the kind of access that public transportation would provide for that. So you have the business sector, a very important player in the business sector, saying we care about transit.
Okay, so when we talk about VIA Reimagined, we're talking about San Antonio VIA Reimagined. In the future, what will that look like? What role should VIA play in that, and where will the money come from? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. 210-614-8980. The source continues. Stay tuned. To The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the VIA Reimagined plan. What does that look like, and how are we going to pay for it? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We got a voicemail, and let's give it a listen.
Hi there. My name is Daniel, and I have a question about not including rail in the VIA's plans. And a lot of my friends are concerned about this, that rail's not included, that only buses are. And how are you going to dissuade those potential voters to vote for VIA? Because I can tell you from experience of me using the bus system, not just in San Antonio, but in Dallas, in places like Memphis, Tennessee, and so on, that VIA has its act together, and they know what they're doing. And they have improved the bus system, and we can only improve it more, improve it better, by making sure they have more tax revenue going to them.
All right, and that is a voicemail from Daniel. Marina Gavito is a VIA board trustee. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard from a lot of people in San Antonio, where's the rail? Of course, San Antonio's had a lot of fights over rail over the years. It'd be very difficult to bring rail into the system, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we should consider is that when we're talking about laying rail, that it proves to be extremely costly. And I think that what we have seen in the country, that when there's votes for rail, they end up not passing. One of the cool things about our advanced rapid transit is that it's a dedicated bus lane, and it has prioritized signaling. So, you know, the buses will signal to the traffic signals and make it all green lights. So with our advanced rapid transit, it very much acts like rail without laying the infrastructure of rail.
The rails themselves. Mm-hmm. Michael Walk, the Texas A&M Transportation Institute, what is the current thinking about rail? Does it make sense?
That's a very difficult question, and really it comes down to what the local region's, you know, goals are and what it sees as its long-term need. You know, the trend, at least, you know, has been far less rail, far less new rail, although there are new rail systems going up all over the U.S. You know, the financial challenge is one that's difficult to overcome when it comes to the infrastructure required to support rail. And, you know, the question of whether it makes sense really depends on, you know, the goals of San Antonio and what you see as the future of the region in terms of the number of people that you hope to be able to move on rail. Or on bus or whatever transit option you want to lay out for the future of San Antonio.
But Michael Walk, as you study transportation, what a thing to study these days, because it's so much disruption is happening, or it's a revolution after revolution happening in transportation, with the ride-hailing services, with the possibility of super cheap EVs coming online, even self-driving technology. There's a lot happening, and does that come into play? How do we predict what kind of transportation we're going to need 20 years from now when things are happening so quickly?
Yeah, if you could figure that out, I think you'd be making a lot of money right now, being able to see the future. So certainly a big uncertainty all transportation planners have right now with these technologies coming out. You know, there's a few key realities that really come to bear. You know, one is just simple capacity. And it doesn't matter what type of single vehicle is on the street, whether it's automated or electric, there are limits to the amount of people you can move per hour through a given corridor when everyone's in their own vehicle, or even if there's four or five people in a single vehicle. Transit is by far the most efficient tool to move large numbers of people in a confined space. It always has been, and for the foreseeable future will continue to be. And I think that's one of the things we always circle back around to, is that even though there's all these new technologies available and that are on the horizon that might create some changes in the transportation landscape, it doesn't change the underlying geometric fact that capacity of transit is much higher than any other alternative.
Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit, as you help guide, do you look towards the future with a VIA Reimagined plan, trying to come up with, okay, this is the kind of technology that we should invest in? But, you know, back to the original voicemail about mm-hmm. rail, I mean, rail is expensive and flexibility is not one of its strong suits.
That's, let me just say, you just hit a home run, because those, along with Michael's statement, really encompass the justification and our interest in advanced rapid transit. So the first thing I'll say, advanced rapid transit is just not more buses. In fact, the vehicle that's in that lane will not likely be just a bus. It will be rubber tire, probably, much as my Toyota is rubber tire, but my Toyota is not a bus either. The big deal is the dedicated lane, the ability to talk to the traffic signals to help move through the corridor. You get all those benefits. The other thing is the flexibility, as you say. You lay rail, and as that environment, transportation environment changes, that rail is going to be there and it's stuck. Mm-hmm. And this facility can be used for other purposes over time. So we have a lot more flexibility at half the cost. So I describe ART as the smart person's light rail.
All right, I'm going to go to a caller. The number is 210-614-8980. Ellen has called in, and Ellen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I have a friend who rides regularly. She's recently moved out to Huebner, and she has to take 2.25 hours on Sunday morning because she has to make three stops. She has to change at the medical center concourse. She has to change at the downtown concourse. And on Sunday, many of the buses only run once an hour. With a big city, you're going to have central concourses like that. But when I called to find out about being able to get to work night shift on the weekends, what I found out was that my normally 35-minute ride was estimated at 2 hours plus 1.5 miles walk each way. There's not a lot of help for working people.
Right. Ellen, thank you for the call. So let me go first to Marina Gavito, yeah, the VIA board trustee. Ellen and her friend, those mm-hmm. that's your customer base. They sure. rely on VIA to get them to where they need to go.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. And I think one of the things to consider in VIA Reimagine is the better bus part of the plan. What you're going to see is frequency increase, you're going to see late night service, you're going to see more weekend service, you're going to see all of those things. As a personal story, I used to live in Chicago and was completely dependent on the buses and the subway there. And so I know what it's like to be completely dependent on public transportation. When I moved back to San Antonio and I was looking up from my house to the Pearl, you know, it did take a long time. I think one of the things I had to remind myself of is that it takes a long time because this is how much San Antonio has invested in our public transportation system. If we're going to invest more, we're going to see better service. We're going to see not these outrageous 2.5 hour wait times like sometimes we see.
All right. And Jeff Arndt, you want
to? Well, first of all, I'd like to say to Ellen and all the people who are listening that rely on the system, that we recognize that we are vital to the economic viability of this region and particularly of our riders to getting them access to jobs. But as Marina said, you know, jobs have spread further and further out. And it takes funding in order to extend those services, and it takes funding in order to make them more frequent. So the first piece of VIA Reimagine that would be implemented should we receive funding would be increasing weekend frequency and weekend service, because we recognize that's probably the weakest part of our system right now.
Michael Walk at the Texas A&M Transportation Institute, looking at the big picture, do mass transit systems like we have here in San Antonio or Chicago, are they supposed to be the transportation option of last resort? How do we change that? And can we?
It's definitely possible to change, you know, the attractiveness of a transit system, and the steps that you take are the same that are being done here in many other cities, which is to increase the convenience of the system. That means more frequent service, particularly on key routes. That means more hours of service. Being able to take a bus, as many hours of the day as possible, keeping the system open and available. And you know, that's one side of the coin. However, you know, keeping the transit system itself up and relying reliable and convenient is one side of it. There's other things that are related on the other, that have to do with sidewalk access, just the convenience of personal automobile travel can make it less attractive to take transit if it's very easy to, you know, get in a car and drive someplace and you don't have to pay, you know, to park. So those other factors also make it more difficult for transit to be a competitive option. But there's a lot you can do to invest in your current system.
All right. So we have to look at the scales, how they balance out here. And so, Jeff Arndt, as we look at the future of San Antonio with more congestion, and the congestion is coming. It's coming. There's no stopping that. This question of how bad it's going to be and what options we're going to provide for individuals. And particularly as more people are actually being pushed out of the, you know, we're seeing more people displaced in San Antonio. We've got to have transportation options for them. So will that, because there becomes, they call like a pain threshold, a pain point threshold for people who drive, and say it would be half as much time for me to take a VIA to get where I want to go than if I drive. And I don't have to worry about parking and all those other issues.
I think that's a great deal to do with it. You know, Commissioner Wolf, he always talks about the pain point when he moved to New York City and found out that having a truck in New York City was no pleasure. I can give you a personal story, and Marina shared one, that when I moved to Houston in 1979, of course, it was not nearly as big as it is today, but it was big, and I had an un-air-conditioned car from my previous city, San Jose, California. I was driving, commuting on the North Freeway with my windows open, the exhaust coming in the windows, the heat coming in the windows, obviously, and there was an HOV lane available, and I would see these Metro buses fly by. With air conditioning apparent because of the condensation on the window. I had reached that pain point very quickly in Houston, and for 15 years rode the park and ride system there. We are working in partnership with TxDOT to introduce HOV lanes on our system here in San Antonio as well, and they will become a complementary piece to the advanced rapid transit that would provide that kind of benefit that people would look over at and say, I'd much rather be able to read or nap or do work on an air-conditioned bus or vehicle, mm-hmm. Then sit here in traffic, you know, grabbing my steering wheel.
And Marina Gavito, VIA board trustee, are you? What do you see in that area?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Jeff. I think that if I can board a bus and get work done, take a nap, read a paper, read a book, whatever, versus having to stress and fight congestion, I mean, public transportation is a no-brainer. I think one of the things that we all stress at VIA is frequency, frequency, frequency. And with what we're with how the city is invested in public transportation now, I mean, this is as good as we're going to get it. If we invest more, obviously we're going to see higher frequency. And we actually just saw that with the city of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Funded via $10 million, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we increased the frequency on 18 different routes. Jeff, stop me if any of my numbers are wrong. And we increased the frequency on 18 different routes, and we saw a ridership increase by double digits on some of those routes. And so you see that if I know that I'm at a bus stop and I'm not going to wait more than 12 to 15 minutes and I'm not having to check bus schedules or anything else like that, then I'm going to wait at that bus stop to take me where I need to go.
All right, we're going to be taking a break here. We do have some emails. I'm going to read one from Sherry. I would love to see public transportation expanded in San Antonio. However, I've seen no concrete explanation of how the 1/8% sales tax that VIA would be using, if they have a budget to how I spend my monthly income and plan for big expenses. I see no budget from VIA for all of these monies. And also, we'll be talking about that, how VIA spends its money, where VIA gets its money from. Also, a proposal for shifting the 1/8% sales tax from aquifer protection to VIA. Why is that necessary and how would that work? We're going to tackle that when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about VIA Reimagined. It's a plan that's being put forth to boost up, amplify the VIA's services, and also come up with a smart transit system and also bring about a rapid transit plan, advanced rapid transit. How is this all going to happen? Well, it's going to take money. And where is that money going to come from? We're going to be talking about that right now. The number is 210-614-8980. We're joined by Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit. Marina Gavito, she is a VIA board trustee. Michael Walk is on the line. He's a research scientist, urban planner at Texas A&M Transportation Institute. When we went to break, Jeff, we had an email from Sherry asking about how the budget works for VIA.
So let me speak to, first thing is, I think she was referring to if VIA had the other 8 cents, how would it be spent? So let me start back. Our primary source of funding is sales tax. We receive about $180 million a year in sales tax funds. Local funding is like 92% of it's more like 87% of our budget. 13% is federal grants. Not a huge reliance on federal system. Now, that $180 million a year compares to $750 million a year that Houston brings in and over $500 million a year that Dallas brings in. So there's a big gap. The 1/8 cent represents another $36 million. So it takes us a little over the $200 million, still far less than those other systems, but a good investment. We have developed a very detailed, and we're working this through with our partners at the city because the city is also involved in helping fund this program. We're working through the details of that. We'll be presenting that to our board this month, but I can just describe it very quickly. During the first 5 years, we would be acquiring 75 additional buses that would allow us to expand the frequency of service. You need more vehicles to do that. We would be building a second bus garage because our current bus garage is beyond full capacity. And we would be implementing weekend service, night service, additional mobility on demand in the suburbs. And we would be doing design of our ART. Then in the second 5 years, we would continue those investments in better bus and in smart transit, but we would begin working on developing out and building out the ART system and implementing those changes, as well as additional commuter services.
Michael Walk at Texas A&M Transportation Institute. How do other cities generally fund their transportation? Is everyone, at least in Texas, reliant on sales tax?
All the major transit authorities in Texas, there's 9 of them that do receive a local dedicated sales tax, and that's the tool that's been authorized by the state legislature to set up a transit authority or a municipal transit department. There are some other smaller systems throughout the state that don't have local sales taxes, but the larger systems, you know, Houston, Dallas, Austin, et cetera, including San Antonio, do have that local sales tax. It's not the only tool available outside the state of Texas. There are a wide variety of funding sources that other transit systems use, taxes paid on wages, tax on employers at TriMet. There's other sources available, like state motor vehicle sales taxes sometimes get used to fund transit. Even in the state of Maryland, the state gas tax is used to fund transit. So there's lots of other options available that are in play in other states. But here in Texas, yeah, the local sales tax is the one.
And the legislature providing the opportunity for the formation of MTAs and the sales tax had a secondary effect, which is that the state then stopped funding transit in those cities. So we don't have access to state funds of any magnitude.
And the legislature is not about to start adding new ways to tax people to fund mass transit.
No, and now the governor and I believe that the commissioner, or the head of the commission, recently said that they believe this current wave of freeway expansion may be the last big opportunity, and that we're going to reach a point where it's going to be very costly and difficult to expand the freeway system. So they're starting to talk in terms of other options. Including HOV lanes, for example, or we call them HOV lanes, which I really like. They have not yet said that they were interested in funding public transit, but, you know, as time moves along, we'll have to see.
All right, we have a voicemail here.
My name is Bonnie. I would like to know how we're going to protect our aquifer from further development and from contamination. If we do away with this 1/8 cent and put it towards a transportation program and also that would involve our greenways that are used by thousands of people here in our city. So thank you for the program.
All right, and we have another voicemail that's pretty similar. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, this is Cosima, and I'm the District 1 representative on the Linear Creekways Parks Advisory Board. The funding for the city's Linear Creekway trails is at risk due to the reallocation of the sales tax. The Creekway trails currently share the 1/8-cent sales tax with the Edwards Aquifer Protection Program. Speaking for myself personally, I am very concerned about the current proposal, not because I don't think improving our transportation is important or that I don't agree that VIA is underfunded, but because of the way it has been rolled out. While VIA would enjoy the security of the sales tax funding in perpetuity, no secure funding source has been found for the trail and the aquifer programs. The San Antonio River Authority declined the offer. SAWS says it can't provide the same level of funding, and the county commissioners are not in agreement. My greatest fear is that if city council votes to put the VIA funding on the ballot instead of the aquifer and the trails, that the citizens, out of both opposition and confusion, will not vote to pass it, and we will have a lose-lose-lose result.
All right, let's go to our guest. Marina Gavito is a VIA board trustee. So people have some very substantial concerns about a proposal to shift the 1/8-cent sales tax away from aquifer protection towards VIA Metropolitan support and amplification. So what do you tell them?
Yeah, I think they're extremely valid concerns. The one thing I'm going to say that we all need to realize is that this is not an either-or situation. You know, VIA supports a plan that protects water and clean air and the environment in general, but we also support a plan that helps out with local transportation. I think with the Edwards Aquifer plan and the Greenway plan, the funding is still getting worked out, you know, to be completely transparent. It's still getting worked out. The sales tax funding is the only source of funding that VIA can use. So right now we're things are still in the works, and we'll see where we can get that funding. But again, we don't want to make this an either or. We're not going to have voters choose environment or public transportation.
People have not really have heard, and I'm hoping we can get a better idea right now of we're hearing the concern that if we abandon this aquifer tax, that we're putting our water system in jeopardy, and the aquifer in jeopardy. And so, I mean, people are very this is important to them.
Sure.
You know, we got an email from Carol, and she pointed out that the last election, the aquifer tax was approved with 78% of the vote. A poll shows that the level of aquifer approval has climbed to 80% in all demographic categories. So this is something that if you think you're going to get people to turn against the aquifer, you're probably not going to do very well. Mm-hmm. So how do we convince people that the aquifer, how are you going to do it to convince them that the aquifer is not in jeopardy here?
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the things, and to be fair, we've seen a lot of media around, oh, is it going to be at SAWS? Oh, is it going to be here or there? And so there's a lot of confusion in general. I think what we're going to need to do is figure out how we fund the water, how we fund the environment, and how we fund transportation. There's a way to make it work, and we're really leaning on our mayor and city council and city leadership to figure out how to make that work.
And the county as well.
And the county, right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit. I know there's a lot, you know, you are not allowed to advocate for these types of things. All you can do is really kind of tell us what we know. So help us understand, where are we in this current situation? Is it currently being negotiated? Are there plans? Do we have a plan? What's it look like?
So much of that came through ConnectSA, which, you know, is an independent organization. And ConnectSA made a number of recommendations to City Council, and I believe they've been talking to commissioners, but have not yet appeared before Commissioner's Court. And they've left it to some degree in the hands of City Council, for example, because I think everybody, this is not advocating, I think everybody respects what's being done with the aquifer and linear creeks and feels that those programs need to be continued. I don't think there's any doubt. I don't hear anybody out there saying, oh, don't worry about it. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Everybody really says we need to find a way to do both. Mm-hmm. And the city council over the next couple months, I think, will be really grappling with how all of this could be achieved or if all of this could be achieved.
So my big questions are, like, with this eighth of a cent sales tax that we currently have for aquifer protection, this is money that is used to buy up easements or to, it's money that's leveraged with property owners over the aquifer zone to protect the recharge zone. Is how much property is still out there? Is it in jeopardy? Is it, have we reached maximum capacity? Are we at the point of diminishing returns? And then how can we continue this program into the future? It's very complex. And so we need experts to step up and give us real solid answers.
And the answers to those questions, you need other experts than the three of us.
Yeah.
That's not our expertise.
Right. So I mean, we're going to be talking about this as we proceed, because in November, it's expected that this will be on the ballot for San Antonio. And, you know, currently it doesn't look good looking at these polling numbers. So and we're talking about a very serious concern with transportation. So the suspense is killing me here. All right. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the VIA Reimagined Plan. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980. Let's go to Jessica on the phones. Jessica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up how important it is to not only start with, but keep very present in this conversation, the deep intersections between, you know, not only meeting our transit needs in terms of ease of traffic congestion and all of those things, but we need to really pay special attention throughout the conversation and exploration of solutions for how we're also meeting our climate readiness needs, how we're also making every attempt possible to prevent displacement, because those two other areas are a huge priority and a huge need in San Antonio's community. And it's only by looking at the intersections of all three of those spaces, you know, from the very beginning and throughout the conversation and engaging the communities, like impacted by the compound impacts of these kind of flawed systems right now, that we can get to real solutions. So I'd like to hear if there's any thought on how to make those intersections at this point.
All right, Jessica, thank you for the call. Marina Gavito, VIA Board Trustee. Let's talk a little bit about our climate objectives here. How will this play into that, the VIA Reimagined?
Yeah. Well, thanks also, Jessica, for raising those concerns. I think one of the things that we need to remember is that public transportation helps the environment, right? Less cars on the road, And VIA runs a lot of CNG, compressed natural gas buses. And so, as you know, nobody's a bigger tree hugger than myself. And so I see that, hey, if we can get more people on buses instead of cars and sitting in congestion, the better. And one of the other concerns brought up is displacement. I think one of the things that we really need to also remember, and at least it's the fire under my butt for sitting on the VIA Board of Trustees, is all the opportunity that VIA connects people to. I mean, it connects people to job, it connects people to schools, it connects people to each other. And so when you think of VIA like that, you think of VIA as the lifeline of a city. And, you know, several people don't have the the opportunity to be a choice rider. Like, hey, I can take VIA today or not. It's for a lot of people in San Antonio, it's their only choice. And, you know, right now we just saw new media about how San Antonio is one of the poorest cities. I mean, we can't.
It's one of the poor. Yeah, it's a statistical area. It is one of the more poor cities in the nation.
Absolutely. And so with that knowledge, we absolutely need to be investing in our public transportation simply because of all the connection and economic mobility it provides to our citizens.
Michael Walk, the Texas A&M Transportation Institute, it's really hard to predict, you know, what's going to be happening with climate change, and if policies are going to come into play to rein in our carbon emission. But do you think public transportation is going to be leaned on heavily to be a way to deal with that?
I would say yes. The transportation sector is still a very large contributor to greenhouse gas emissions, and you know, as was previously mentioned before, just just the effectiveness of that transit can provide in terms of moving people effectively if it's at appropriate service levels and appropriately funded, you know, so it becomes a really great tool that could be leveraged, you know, by regions, by cities, in order to help, you know, improve air quality and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And it has the added benefits of connecting people to opportunity. You know, so it seems like low-hanging fruit, right, to really invest in a transit system and to better move the region.
Let's go back to the phone lines with Kimberly. Kimberly, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. My question has to do with the paratransit. Is there any plan to improve the paratransit? You talked about the displacement and need economically, you know, people to get to work and jobs and other activities, but have not addressed the need of the disabled.
All right. Thank you for that, Kimberly. Let me go to Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit.
So everything that we do has a component of serving people who with disabilities, senior citizens, students, everything that we do. So as we expand service, by definition, we expand VIA Transit opportunity. The second thing is when we look at mobility on demand, or what we call VIA Link, those services are all accessible. And so the idea therefore is that you'd have an accessible service that might link you to an accessible bus. But we're all about accessibility. Mm-hmm. We've made a lot of improvements in VIA Trans over the last 5 years. Technology improvements that allow people to schedule their trips online and to track their vehicle mm-hmm. as it arrives, so they don't have to wonder as much within the window when it will arrive. So we've done a lot of investment like that. But this plan here, every investment in this plan incorporates improvement in services for people with disabilities.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Don. Hey, Don, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Yes, my suggestion was that if public transportation is good for the total public, and every time they raise the fares on the public transportation, ridership goes down, why don't they, for a period of 6 months or a year, make the ridership completely free and see how that would encourage and help the public transportation system?
Don, thank you for the call. Let me go to Michael Walk on this first at Texas A&M Transportation Institute. Seems to be a growing movement nationally calling for free mass transit. There were some protests in New York City not that long ago calling for free subway fares. Is this something that is gaining momentum, and what would that look like?
I'd say free transit is definitely a recurring topic. I think it ends and flows in the industry. Certainly there's cities, for instance, Kansas City, I think, or Missouri, recently made its system, a bus system, fare-free. And there's ongoing interest in the idea, right, because it's an attractive way to potentially increase ridership. It's certainly not without its challenges, both on the operational side in particular, in terms of if demand does go up for public transit because the fares are free, then you have more people waiting to get on the buses. And some systems that have tried and tested free transit, you know, pilot programs, for instance, found during the period of free transit that they just couldn't handle the influx of folks, and service quality diminished. So you don't want to make something free and then it loses its quality. So it has to be something very carefully thought about. And in the case of San Antonio, and Jeff would know the numbers better than I, but certainly the fare is a part of the overall financial picture. And so if that money's not there, there has to be some other place that money would be coming from.
So, Jeff Arndt, what is the percentage of the budget income for VIA coming from fares? How does San Antonio's fare compare to other communities?
So, first of all, fares are about 8% of our budget.
You said 8?
8 to 10%. In our plan, I think we're assuming 10%. How does that compare? Well, if you compare us to the other MTAs in Texas, it's not that we're all 10 to 15%, fairly small. If you look at some other systems, especially on the East Coast, some of them are up at 30 to 40%, but their fares reflect that. We have a $1.30 base fare. We now have free transfers, so $1.30 and then you transfer for free. When we increased that fare, when we came up to that fare, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, so we haven't done a fare increase for quite a while, the Express News looked at fares across the nation and concluded that San Antonio had the second lowest fare of any major city across the nation. Albuquerque, New Mexico, was the only one lower than us. So that's the first thing, is that fares are fairly low. We have discounts. Seniors, for example, ride for 25 cents in the middle of the day and free all – seniors ride free right now all weekend long. So obviously that would – I think Michael raises a very good point that the system has to be prepared for influx of customers. I still believe that it is the quality of service that will drive people to riding the bus and riding the bus more frequently, that our fare is not a huge barrier to our ridership.
We can also, you know, you buy them on your smartphone, the fare, and you can buy a day pass.
Yes.
And so it just, you could use that pass multiple times during the day. And so the more you use, the more you save.
Correct.
It seems to work out pretty well.
Absolutely.
And so what... We got about a minute and a half left. So, Jeff Arndt, give me another pitch about where this VIA plan is headed right now. Are we still is this firmed up? This is what we want, and now we're in the phase of trying to educate the public about what to expect.
So, first of all, I'd say that we are never to the point where we don't consider any additional public comment. But I think that this plan has been in the works since we developed the 2040 plan back in 2014, and we've had extensive community outreach between 2014 and 2020, 6 years of it. And so I believe we pretty much firmed up on the elements of the plan. And we have at least a good draft idea of like which routes would get more frequency, which routes would get weekend. But those are all things that would then go through the public process. It's mostly educating people about reimagining what VIA can be. VIA does not have to be what it's been for the last 40 plus years, a service that runs every 30 to 60 minutes. We can run the kind of service the city's helped us start running that is far more attractive at 10 to 12 minutes.
And Marina Garvito, are we pretty sure this is going to be on the ballot in November? Is that still up for crafting?
Yeah, that's the plan. I think what we're seeing in the works is how we're going to protect the environment with that funding, too. Again, to me, it's not an either or. It's how do we make it work?
All right. I want to thank you, Marina Garvito, VIA Board Trustee, Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit. Also with us online, Michael Walk, Research Scientist, Urban Planner at Texas A&M Transportation Institute. I'm David Martin Davies. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.